Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are in our Bible study segment, and Connie Stampfel is here with today's lesson number 34. Welcome, Connie.
Yes, hello, Amy.
What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, Peter's going to be teaching us all in chapter 2 about false teachers, and this first segment is going to be about just the influence and the ways of false teachers.
All right, well, why don't I start by reading that verse? We're already in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, and this is cooking along pretty fast, so I'll read and Connie will teach. It says this in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep."
All right, Peter has some very strong words and a descriptive way of saying what he is, but we're going to see there's a contrast immediately, because last time when we were together, we talked about how we hold to that certain prophetic word, how God's word is true, and then Peter says right away here in verse 1, "But false prophets also arose among the people," and he's talking about the Old Testament times, how the people needed to be able to distinguish between a true prophet of God and a false prophet of God. And scripture tells us about that. And so I'm going to have Amy read a passage from Deuteronomy that tells us how they are to know about those.
Yeah, this is one that we might want to bookmark. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 13, just the first three verses. It says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul."
Yes, and really the key point there is to understand that this false prophet who did some signs or wonders, something that might seem to validate this person as being from God, also in verse 2 said, "Let us go after other gods." That was the key point, because if this person is leading you away from the one true God, they are not a true prophet. We also know that the false prophets told lies, and they told things that the people wanted to hear. And those of us who have studied Jeremiah saw again and again how he was telling God's truth, and it was going to be disaster coming on the people, but the false prophets were saying words that actually the people enjoyed or thought would bring peace. So, Amy, if you read that passage from Jeremiah.
This is 14, and "The Lord said to me, 'The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you in a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds.'"
Yes. And so, and that passage actually in Jeremiah goes on and talks about their destruction is coming also. But again, God's prophets speak what is true. And in the Old Testament, one of the other ways the people knew whether or not a prophet was true was if the what they said came true, then they were a true prophet. If what they said did not come true, then they were to be stoned.
Yeah. Wow. That's tough, you know, and today when I think about that, Connie, I think, you know, we don't have stoning in these days, but God really deals with us harshly, doesn't he?
He does. We need to be careful if we're speaking God's word to be true to God's word.
Yeah.
Peter goes on here in this same passage and tells us a little bit more. He says, "Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." And so Peter is saying, false prophets in the Old Testament, there's false teachers in the New. And we have other scriptures in the New Testament, many of them actually dealing with those false prophets. And we have a passage from Acts 20 where Paul is speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he has a strong warning for them there.
Yes, Paul says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them."
Yes, and so we see here a hallmark, again, of false prophets and false teachers is twisted things, things that are not true, things that are not true of God. We also have a passage in Jude that we're going to look at. And interestingly, while we're reading through 2 Peter here, you might want to just read the short book of Jude. It's only 25 verses, but there's great parallels, common themes, and we can tell that they truly were writing about the same time and had some of the same concerns.
Yeah, chapter 1 there, just verses 3 and 4. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ.
Yes, and so Jude again is talking about people who are not following God's ways. And we see another clue here, because one, they're ungodly, they pervert the grace of our God into sensuality, and that's a hallmark of false teacher or false prophets, is they descend into just a way of sinfulness that is not at all the way God tells us to live. And notice how he says, who deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And truly, I think nowadays, Amy, when we look at the various heresies, we need to see what those groups say about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation.
Amen.
We find that, again, that's what Peter is writing here, because the last part of the verse says, after bringing in destructive heresies, and actually secretly bringing in destructive heresies, which means there's kind of an ill intent, because they are doing it to deceive people and lead people away for their own gain. It says, even denying the Master who bought them, who purchased them. And then it says, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And to deny who Jesus Christ is and salvation in him is it's the worst heresy. And it speaks to these people knowing truths, or knowing perhaps the words of the gospel, but it hasn't become real to them because they're able to deny Jesus Christ. We find that Jesus talked a little bit about this also, because when he was speaking again to some of the religious leaders in John 8:44, he told them that they were of the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is the liar and the father of lies. That's why we need to so know the truth and hold to it.
Yes. Definitely.
We have a couple scriptures also, which we won't read right now, but they're referenced in the homework, and they both have to do with us, how we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter's talking about. If you are born again, if you're a blood-bought Christian, then you are not your own anymore. You belong to Jesus Christ, and we need to keep remembering that that's the most important thing.
Amen.
We also have some scriptures we're talking about, just again, the way of false teachers. They, because if they are not born again, if they are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if they're teaching lies, they usually descend into sensual ways of living, ways that are unholy, ungodly. And we find that Peter again says this. He said, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And so Scripture tells us again about those fruits of ungodliness, unrighteousness, and we've got a passage in Galatians that tells us what those things look like.
Yeah, this is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, and so Peter again is telling us the kind of things to watch out for in behavior that would clue us into perhaps someone is not truly following God and is not doing what God would have them do. Here back in our passage in 2 Peter, we have verse 3, which says, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words, literally fabricated, made up words. And then he goes on and he says, their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction or their ruin is not asleep. And that destruction is kind of the idea of the everlasting destruction. It's not annihilation, or they're just going to be put aside, but it's actually the kind of destruction which is eternal. We have some other scriptures to look at that speak to those same kind of ideas, pulling together the idea of their selfishness and greed. The reason they do this is actually to exploit people, and it's for their own gain. Mm. And Paul writes in Romans 16, a great passage that really pulls it together for us.
Yeah, this is chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive.
All right. And so we've been just told again the method and the motivation of these false teachers. And then Peter had also told us what their ultimate end is. Their end is ruin. And that's also what Paul wrote to us in Philippians 3, verses 17 to 19. He said, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things.
Mm. Thank you, Connie. You know, ladies, this assignment for today is very powerful, and you'll need to go in and study this and ask some very good, thought-provoking questions that Connie's laid out for us. And you'll find that study guide under lesson number 34 in 2 Peter. This one is titled, The Ways and Influence of False Teachers. Well, we're going to take a break now. Thank you, Connie. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about this.